Welcome to the Divorce View Talk Show with your co-hosts, Joni Winberg and Rosalind Sadaka, your divorce mentor team. If you're contemplating divorce, going through a divorce, or are ready to move forward after your divorce, then we've got you covered. We'll even help you get back into the dating game. This show will lift your spirits, answer your questions, and guide you through the challenges you're facing. And our guest divorce experts will provide insights, tips, and tools to support you and the children you love during and after divorce. And now, here's your divorce mentor team, Joni and Rosalind.
Welcome to the Divorce View Talk Show. Hello, it's Joni Winberg, certified human behavior consultant, divorce mentor, and CEO of the National Association of Divorce for Women and Children. I'm always excited to do the show together with my great co-host, Rosalind Sadaka. Hello, Roz.
Hi, Joni. It's a pleasure to be here every week with you. I'm Rosalind Sadaka. I'm a divorce and parenting coach, founder of the Child-Centered Divorce Network. And I'm very excited to introduce you to our guest today. Larry Sereski is a divorce attorney, family law attorney, who's been practicing for many, many years. And he also is the creator of a new film that focuses on divorce and custody issues, child custody issues, and explains the consequences when parents very often innocently and not realizing what they're doing, bring their custody cases to court and let the court make decisions for them. So we're going to introduce Larry in just a moment, but I know, Joni, you wanted to say a couple of things to catch us up.
Well, I just want to make sure that people know that this is a live show. We actually have this Google Hangout radio talk show today live. So feel free to write in your questions and we can ask our guests as we go along. So welcome, Larry. I'm thrilled you're here.
Thank you. I'm delighted to be here.
Larry, I had the pleasure of seeing your film, and it was not only valuable, but it was moving and touching, and I was all teared up by the end of the film because you touch on very real life consequences for families. And tell us what inspired you to create the film and how you went about doing that.
The film was the idea of a colleague of mine who preceded me as chair of the Connecticut Bar Association Family Law Section. Her name is Deb Grover. She practices in Danbury, Connecticut. And we both had seen quite enough, of what goes on in custody cases. And we weren't satisfied that enough was being done to try to dissuade parents from putting their kids through that pretty awful experience. And we found that not only parents, but judges and lawyers as well, thought that the custody evaluation process was put together in such a way that children were protected, that they wouldn't be humiliated or compromised during the process. And we knew better. Mm-hmm. And so the intention of the film, and it's for parents and professionals as well, is to show from the children's perspective, and this is not a talking head film, this is a dramatic film, from the kids' perspective, what it's like to go through that process, even where the professionals do their job as they should, and the parents who play very little part in the film, and when the parents are not over the top contentious. You don't see the parents fighting. There's a little argument at the top of the film, and then that's it. And so when all goes as it's supposed to with the process, it's nonetheless devastating to kids. And that's what we wanted to show. The way it's set up is that we have the parents in a faux interview, as if they're being interviewed by a documentary filmmaker at the beginning, and they go through 8 myths about child custody cases, such as kids that will be all right because they're resilient, or judges protect children, or the system is set up by professionals acting on the children's behalf, and on and on. All of those have a kernel of truth, of course. For example, judges do protect children. They're very protective of children, family law judges. But the problem is they're not involved until the end. They try the cases. By that time, the custody evaluation process and all that entails for the kids is over. So we have the parents articulating these myths, and then the rest of the film, it's a 25-minute film, is dedicated to showing in different ways how those myths are just that, myths.
It's really hard to watch the kids, but it's such an eye-opener for the parents. So even though my heart's breaking to know what those kids are feeling and going through, or to see it, but to me, I was happy to, it's almost like you were able to shake the parents a little bit, hopefully any parents watching this, to say, oh my goodness, is this what we're really doing? I don't think parents realize. I think you're right. They think the kids don't see a lot, they don't hear a lot, but they see and hear a lot more than we realize, but they're not as tough as we think they are. So hats off to you, Larry. It's a phenomenal film. And I want to just make sure we can be doing this as we're going along to make sure that they know that it's childcustodyfilm.com is your website. So right. We're going to be saying that several times so that people will be getting that. But it just sounds like to me, as Roz had asked you, you had said you've just seen enough of the heartache of what these kids go through.
Yeah, and so much of it is unnecessary. We know there are some cases where court intervention is necessary, where there's abuse, domestic violence, untreated mental illness or substance abuse. Very often, we need the courts, and children need the courts. But this film is directed at the too many cases that are avoidable, that are unnecessary. When parents are unable to agree, and in this case, it was the parents are arguing whether they should have a 50-50 custody arrangement, which dad wants, mom feels the kids should have one primary home. That is never the type of issue that should reach a courtroom. That should be resolved. And along with the film, there's a guide for parents that includes conflict management and dispute resolution methods, including all sorts of alternative dispute resolution, so that they can avoid that path. And we start right at the beginning in the guide with building a parenting goal statement. I mean, when people get married, they must have shared some views about children. So hard as it is, and none of this is easy for parents, and I don't ever mean to suggest otherwise. I mean, this is a horrible time to begin with. And when the children are in dispute, or how the children are going to be handled as a dispute, it just makes it that much more heart-wrenching. And we know that. And yet, the parents have a chance to become heroes to their children, essentially, by putting their hostility toward each other aside and remembering, listen, we did share some values. You know, we didn't believe, for example, that children should ever be in the middle of our battles. We do believe that they should be protected from certain things in life. And building that statement is a way to get parents off and running in another direction, in a direction of resolving disputes outside the courtroom.
I really love the fact that you focused on a family where you weren't at an extreme. These were basically two well-meaning parents, and they thought that they were doing the best thing by letting the courts make this decision, naively and innocently trusting that this is going to be much better for everyone. And the way it plays out is such an eye-opener for the viewers, And I think so many people do think it's better, let's put it in the hands of the experts, who the professionals who know. And the statement that you made earlier is so significant, that these kinds of cases don't belong in court. And people have to understand that only the most extreme cases should be handled in those ways, and all the others can be handled through something much sounder, which is mediation. And I'd love you to talk to us about the value of mediation and how that changes and shifts the whole outcome for everyone in the family.
Sure. Right before that, one of the statements that I remember, I wrote it, so I remember it, but Mom in the film says, listen, not everything is bad about the custody evaluation process. It's better than lawyers doing it behind closed doors. And, you know, at first blush, well, you know, that sounds reasonable. But that's exactly, you're right. They are naive. They are not bad. Their intentions are good, but they're naive, like a lot of parents in that situation.
Larry, I was just going to say, can I stop you right there for a minute? Yeah. Do you think if they're going into this, and I think a lot of couples are at Roz, and this is kind of piggybacking off of what you're saying and leading into what Larry's saying, do you think the attorneys should be making that so clear, and maybe they do already, that court is not where you want to be, because do you want the judge to make these decisions? Do you think it's coming out clear enough? And then I want to go into mediation, but I guess that's a starting point for me. Do people really get that?
One of the things that I've done in connection with this film is I've developed a continuing legal education seminar. And we've gotten CLE credit. I think the first state that we submitted to was Colorado, and the Supreme Court there gave us credit for it. And that's aimed, obviously, at lawyers, because, you know, what is the obligation of a lawyer to the children of his or her client? It's a prickly subject, because lawyers generally owe loyalty to their clients only. But in family cases, they also owe those parents the obligation to educate them about what's going to happen. What are the ramifications for making this choice of going to court? And that involves, of course, what's going to happen to the children. So I do think that lawyers and other professionals need to think about this more carefully. The lawyers especially, and I'm one, so I can say that. Now, I wanted to get to your question about mediation. I started doing mediation back in, I think it was 1987, I did my first case. So I've been doing it for a long time, and it became a larger and larger part of my practice until it finally, I won't call it like crabgrass, but it took over.
In the East, crabgrass is not good.
So, and the advantages of it are that you get immediately to the business of resolving issues. In court-based or traditional divorces, that usually comes 2-3 months or more into the case. And by that time, battle lines are often drawn. The parents' positions are entrenched. If they've been handling the kids poorly, it's gotten only worse, because every mistake mom makes, dad jumps on. Every mistake dad makes, mom jumps on. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, by the time the lawyers turn their attention to the case, the parents say, listen, you know, I want custody. So what mediation does is avoids that as a general proposition. You have an independent mediator who sits down with the parents together and starts talking about these issues right off the bat, and talks about, a good mediator will look for areas of agreement and find that those shared goals and that shared belief system and build from there. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you start to achieve momentum. You know, the more things they agree on, the more momentum there is to reach eventually what we call a parenting plan. It used to be called custody, and you know, and we try to avoid those labels, by the way, because they're nothing but trouble. So we talk about parenting plans.
That's a great point, is focus on what's working, focus on the positive. If negative things come up, and say, okay, let's hold that thought. Let's continue with what's working. We know we've got to work over here. So you can still see how the mediator has the control of where it's going to go if they have that attitude that we're going to first get it going in a positive manner of focusing on what's working and what we both agree on. That's what I'm hearing.
And, you know, the one caution is that you have to be ready for mediation. Because you're going to be sitting down with your spouse and in a relatively dispassionate way trying to resolve differences. It's not easy. Mm-hmm. And the mistake that some couples make is that they go for it too early when emotions are still raw. So, you know, and I've had clients come to me and I've said, you know, I think you're good candidates for mediation, but a month from now. And in the meantime, please do me the favor of not getting into arguments. I make myself available by phone to them. But if I see that putting them in the same room is just going to make things worse, then I have to slow it down.
Mm-hmm. And this is not collaborative we're talking about. We're talking about mediation, not collaborative law where they each come with an attorney.
Right.
Okay.
I mean, you know, and collaborative divorce is a spin-off, really, of mediation in a sense, and it's gained popularity, and it addresses one issue in mediation, which is that sometimes parents feel hesitant to agree to anything without talking with a review counsel first. And so, you know, that can kind of hold things up. In the collaborative setting, the lawyers are right there. Now, you want me to talk about collaborative?
Well, you certainly can address the differences or whatever you feel about it.
Essentially, the difference is that the lawyers are participating. And what happens quickly in a collaborative law is that an agreement is signed by both parents and both lawyers. And the agreement makes reaching an agreement and resolving issues the number one priority. Mm-hmm. Some lawyers have a problem with that because they feel that agreement is what we want, sure, but as lawyers, they feel they have the ethical responsibility to zealously represent their clients, and they want what's best for their clients and their clients' children, hopefully. So there's a little bit of tension in there. You know, the fact is that even in court-based cases, if you have two well-meaning parents, well-intentioned parents, and two conscientious, experienced lawyers who won't let things get out of control, those cases can be settled as well. The problem is that that's dependent on four things, you know, mom, dad, lawyer number one, and lawyer number two. And that's a lot of ifs.
Yes.
A lot of, that's four people with possibly four egos.
And lawyers. Lawyers don't have egos.
Yeah. No, I didn't intend to have that come across at all.
The Child-Centered Divorce Network so endorses all of the options that parents can make to avoid litigation and to make sure that the children come first in the situation. And as complex as it is, the more educated they are up front, and that's why we do the Divorce View talk show, because there are so many ways of presenting this information, but there are some primary things that I know you want to really get across, that you're getting across in your film, and that I know you want to leave our viewers with today, that really get to the crux of the mistakes that they can avoid and the tips and insights you have. So can you share some of those with us and emphasize what's most important after your years and years of experience?
Well, I think, and, you know, again, this is so easy to say and so difficult to do for parents who are involved in divorce. So, you know, I always start with that, because even in talking with clients, I mean, you can rattle off all these things they should do, and they're sitting there just, you know, practically in a concussive state from all that's flying at them. So I'll say that first. I mentioned before that as parents, you have the opportunity to be a hero to your kids. And so,
I love that.
Yeah.
You know, it's a little glib, but what does that really mean? And what it means is rising above the moment and all the hostility that is there, and thinking, all right, in 10 years, how are my kids going to look back on this? Are they going to see that they had parents who were able to rise above the fray and think about us? I wrote a piece in which I said my worst nightmare is that there's a generation of kids growing up who are asking the question, where were the adults? Hmm. And, you know,
I think there is, Larry. I think so.
Yeah, I mean, and you know, so that troubles me, and that's why one of the reasons we made Talk to Strangers, because we're not talking about bad people here. We're talking about good people who are in awful circumstances. And listen, the court-based, the traditional divorce is based on the adversarial system. That's the system in our court. It actually was begun in the Middle Ages, and it was based on two models that they had back then. One was trial by battle, and the other was trial by ordeal. And if you go into a courtroom where a custody case is being tried today, you're going to see both of those.
Yes.
And what you don't see, though, is the ordeal that the kids go through. One of the myths in the film is, you know, there's so many divorces today. This is dad saying this. The kids won't be embarrassed by this. Well, we show the kids being embarrassed in ways that the parents and even the professionals are not thinking about. Mm-hmm. The 13-year-old girl gets off the school bus just as the family services counselor is arriving. And she's terribly embarrassed by that. The 9-year-old boy is taken off the football field, taken off from practice because with his lawyer. You know, all those little kind of indignities. And then the way the kids are compromised. I mean, it just comes up. The 13-year-old comes out of a meeting with family services and says to her dad, well, I was told this is a tough case because I want to live with you, but Nikki doesn't. And there's a little boy sitting next to his father, and his sister just said, well, he doesn't want to live with you. And he goes, yes, I do. I want to live with you and with mom. You know, I mean, the positions that these kids find themselves in. And yeah. I think that's the message. And you hit on it before, Roz, and, you know, your work and with the storybook approach to telling kids about the divorces is just so the kind of thing that's needed. But these are the things that parents are missing, and you know, you can't blame them. I mean, they've
never been through this either. This is a first time. They weren't planning on a divorce, and so, you know, it's a tough situation for everyone. I think the part that affected me the most is when the two kids were walking away down the hall, and they said, you know, our parents usually took care of everything and settled everything and worked everything out. Why can't they work this out? And I thought, oh, that's a killer right there.
Yeah, that's plus, the last line in the film.
Yeah, and plus the relationship between the two siblings who were so close was heartbreaking to see them separate as the parents are being divided by the divorce. Kids very often don't know which parent to side with and are trying to bring them both together and are caught in a terrible feeling of loss and confusion and guilt and shame for loving one parent when the other parent is telling them not to, and all of those deep emotions. And you really get a sense of that. In a relatively short film, you cover a lot of emotional territory and give insights, wonderful insights into the reality of what's going on. And I said to myself, you know, only someone in the trenches, only a family law attorney could really know and understand it. If someone else was putting that together, they wouldn't get the nuances of those subtle little communications between the kids and the professionals, between the parents. And so you packed a wallop of powerful information in a relatively short film. And
excellent.
We were
excellent.
Both very, very impressed with it.
Excellent.
We just want to encourage everyone to get it. It's very inexpensive. It's easy to see, and it's worth sharing with groups and organizations and churches and schools and any other entities that you know of where there are people who may be facing this position and could use some good advice. So let's stop here and give us an update on how and where to find this. But what is the name of the film? And let's start from that.
The film is called Talk to Strangers. You know, we started with a counterintuitive title because most of what's in this film is counterintuitive, at least to the parents who think everything's going to go along well. The website is childcustodyfilm.com, and you can see a trailer there. You can preview the guide, and then, of course, you can order the film there. The guide comes with the film. There's a professional version that also comes with a quick index that could be particularly helpful for parenting education programs or for use in courthouses or even by professionals in their own practice where they want to quickly access a certain point that the film makes. That's what the quick index does.
And is there some place to access you that's separate from that, or is that the same place to find you if someone wants to connect with you?
Yeah, you can info at childcustodyfilm.com. There is a contact page, and you can certainly email me directly with any questions or comments, criticisms, whatever it is. We want to learn too. Because that's the only way that we'll be able to continue to make progress in what the three of us are all interested in doing.
Larry, you also have a book coming out in September. Why don't you take a minute and share that with our audiences, our listeners as well?
I do. It's called The Divorce Book of Lists. And that also is a product of my experience practicing law and counseling clients. And I would see clients all the time who just felt overwhelmed by this foreign world of courts and lawyers and terminology that they had no idea what it meant. And it is not rocket science. It just seems that way because what I call lawglish come as English and with the law thrown in is very confusing to people. And I found out that lists are a great way of presenting information in a simple way and getting more information in a book than you would otherwise get. I mean, I've looked at a lot of books on divorce, some of them very fine, but you got to plow through a lot of verbiage to kind of get to the nitty gritty. And so the idea of this book, while there are explanations, is to hit the topic succinctly and get out.
I love it. It's to me, you're trying to make it simple.
So it's a divorce book. Hopefully it'll be out
in September. You're saying in September. And that's what the great thing about it is, Larry, is you're trying to keep it simple because you know the emotions are going crazy at this time. People are just not thinking straight. Making decisions is difficult. I know. I remember those times myself. Just to make simple decisions with everything else was just so difficult.
Overwhelming.
And it's important for parents to know that they have choices.
Yes.
I think a lot of what you're doing with your work is showing them that there are choices and options. Too many people are running with models from 20 years ago about the way their parents or their aunts and uncles got divorced. And then if they're facing it now, they're not aware that there are lots of choices today and lots of decisions that they can make that are going to be much more family friendly. And that's what we're trying to do. So this is a fabulous resource to open the doors to understanding all the options and why they make so much sense.
And Roz, you're so right. Even today when people, I'm very amicable with my former and people say, you still talk with them and connect with them. And so today that a lot of those myths and that image of how you should be after divorce is still there. So Larry, hats off to you for doing this and helping parents not only through the court process, I mean, not only through the divorce process, but also I call it the fun starts after court or after the divorce decree is settled, because you got to live with each other still day in and day out when you have kids. So it's still then at tough times.
So why don't you leave us with some final thoughts for the parents? What is your best advice for parents?
Well, I start with pointing out to them that going to court to resolve issues is turning over to a stranger the decisions that you should be making as parents. And a number of things happen, including the hostility that is bred by this adversary system. But beyond that, when you get a decision from a judge, it is not going to contain the details that you need in an agreement. You and your co-parent know what's important. The judge is going to do his or her best to hit the highlights, but it's never going to get into the detail that you need. So it's best for everyone if you can resolve these issues out of court. We know that cases that are settled, agreements that are made out of court, are more likely to be abided by because the parents have invested time, energy, and money in them. And if you want to throw away money, litigate child issues, because it's devastating the amount of money that it costs. You're paying not only your own lawyers, but in many cases you'll be paying for lawyers to represent the children. There might be a psychologist appointed to do an evaluation. The money is ridiculous. Yeah. And it's one of the reasons I got into mediation, to tell you the truth.
Well, thank you so much. That was excellent, excellent advice.
Definitely. And Larry, I just want to make sure they know once again, it's childcustodyfilm.com is where they need to go. Number one, to contact you if they need to, as well as to see a sample of the film and to learn more about the guide that comes with it. So it's childcustodyfilm.com.
And there are also other resources on the site as well that deal with other divorce-related issues. So it's not just about the film.
Excellent. Yes. Larry, thanks so much for being on the show. Roz, as always, it's a pleasure.
Thank you.
It's a pleasure to. We're delighted that we had you today. And we also invite our viewers to see our shows that are archived at divorceview.com. If you have other child and parenting issues, then the childcenteredivorce.com is the place to go. And Joni, tell them about your resources.
Right. If you go to divorceview.com, you'll be able to connect with Raj, you'll be able to connect with me. My website's gettingalongsolutions.com, so we can help you get along as much as possible. So thanks again for tuning in to the divorceview.com this week. And remember that Roz and I are always here. We're known as the Divorce Mentor Team to support you during a divorce or before divorce, during, and even after divorce. So thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you next week.